Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon hymn for today, the hymn of the day assigned for the 24th Sunday after Trinity, is attributed to Luther. And it's right to say that because he turned it into a German hymn. But if you looked at the bottom, you'll notice that it far exceeded his own life in when it was written. In fact, it was a common song that would be sung during the committal part of a Christian burial. As the group of people were walking from the church to the cemetery to lay the body to rest, this song would be sung. It is an ancient Latin hymn. It is called the Media Vita in Morte Sumus. And these are the words, and you can see how those words that we sang just now should have been ringing in the ears of Lutherans everywhere for over 700 years. In the midst of life we are in death, from whom can we seek help? From you alone, O Lord, who by our sins are justly angered, holy God, holy and mighty, holy and merciful Savior, deliver us not into the bitterness of eternal death. It goes on and on, but you can see how Luther takes this song that would have been very common to the people and turns it into a hymn of remembrance, of the fact that we as Christians might be in the very midst of life right now, but our hope and our joy is in the life that is to come. Our Old Testament lesson today begins with the words, "Awake, awake." Give consideration to that. Give consideration to the importance of being awake. Now, I don't mean woke in the modern sense. You don't want to be a part of that mob. Rather, being awake, being prepared. Because Jesus Christ is going to return. And he's not going to judge what we now call equity. He's not going to judge based on whatever your skin color happens to be. He's going to judge solely on faith in him. Because as we discussed with All Saints, all tribes, all peoples from all out the world, regardless of what they might look like, that confess Jesus as Lord, will be saved. Repentance and faith. That's what gets heaven. And it's not even our own work. Faith is a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. He works it when his word is proclaimed, when his word is joined to water to be baptism, when his word is joined to the bread and wine, that what we receive is not just bread and wine, but it is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if it completely makes sense to us. What matters is what the Bible teaches. So we need to be awake. We need to be ready because Jesus Christ is returning. We are almost at the end of this church year. Next Sunday is the last Sunday of the church year. And as we get closer to the end of the church year and as we get closer to Advent, it takes a very end times turn. But for us, dear Christians, we shouldn't be so afraid of that end. Yes, the world should fear, because in judgment, it will be judged. And those who rejected him and those who lived for themselves and not for Christ will be in eternal hell. But for the Christian, we look forward to that day. Because all those who have preceded us in the faith will be reunited with us. All those that we've lost in this life that have been gained in heaven will rejoice with us. Awake, awake, put on strength, be prepared, be ready for that day because none of us know when it will come. But I promise you that it is coming. And maybe it won't quite happen in our own lifetimes. But the fact is that none of us know the hour of our death. We need to be preparing for it all the time. How do we prepare for death? by living for Christ. The word that you hear proclaimed in your church, the word that you read each and every day in your scriptures in your home, should build up your faith. That no matter what the woke mob or the world might try to throw at you, it doesn't matter, because you have Jesus. That's all you need. Because if you have faith in Christ, that light will shine through you. Your neighbors will benefit by having the light of Christ surrounding them. Live for God, serve Him, and love your neighbor. We've talked a lot this year about the 6 days of creation, and at this point, I hope that everyone sitting here today believes what the Bible says about it, that it is a literal 6 days. But even though we meditate on that fact, sometimes we forget about how that works in our own lives. You see, the fact is that the God who set the heavens in motion, the God who spoke light into creation, the God who set the earth to be fixed, that created the dry lands and the plants and the trees and the sea creatures and the birds of the heavens, the creeping creatures, and even you, created you. The God who sets the stars where they are in the heavens that shine bright light, the sun as it moves, that God knit you together in your mother's womb. That's how incredible our God is. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But sometimes we forget that we individually are included in that. For God so loved you that he sent his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross for your sins and for mine. And he did it because he loves you. That's our God. The God who created dry land that his people might cross on it. Right through the Red Sea, he parts the sea so that his redeemed people could leave the bondage of slavery in Egypt. That same God took on flesh in the womb of a virgin. That same God grew in wisdom and stature among men. That same God took up the cross to die for you. Do we lose sight of just how incredible our God is? It's one thing to confess that Jesus has died for the sins of the whole world, but it's another to confess that he has died for my sins. Think about that. That's your God, the one who set the heavens, the one who parts the sea, the one who created a flood to cover the whole earth because of how wicked it was, the one who sent fire and brimstone to destroy cities who were so perverted that they had lost sight of God's will. That same God looked and saw you and knit you together in your mother's womb and said, "This world needs you." God is the God of life, and he is the God of death. It is according to his holy will. Jesus raised many people from the dead. And in our gospel lesson, we see just the beauty of that. We have here what is believed to be about a 12-year-old girl. Excuse me. A 12-year-old girl. A girl who is dead. And her father comes. Imagine what that would be like. Imagine what it might be like, and some of you actually know, to lose a child. Here you have Jesus, the God-man, walking the earth. Can he help me? I believe he can. And so he goes and he says, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." He believes that Jesus is the God of life and death. And so Jesus arises and he goes. And while he is on the road, a woman comes. A woman who has been having her cycle for 12 straight years. This is important because it makes her ceremonially unclean as well. And so she desires to be clean. She desires to be in that fellowship. And she thinks to herself, if only I can just touch the very hem of his garment, I can be made clean. And she is. And he says, your faith has made you whole. I can't promise that whatever ails you in this life can be healed simply by prayer. But what I can promise you is that a living faith prays to the living God, and that no matter what ails you in this life, in the life that is to come, there will be no ailments. There will be no issues. For all of us will be declared clean. All of us will be declared worthy, not because of our own acts, but because of Jesus Christ. And he goes. And he goes to this house where there are people wailing and flute players playing because they actually had professional mourners in that day. They would have people who would be paid to make a lament publicly about death and such things. And Jesus says, she's not dead. She is only sleeping. God puts things into perspective. This girl is only sleeping. And while he knew that he would raise her from the dead and that that time between death and life was going to be short, that's really what it is for the bodies until the coming of Christ, his second coming. For the body will sleep while the soul rejoices until that day. So he says, no, no, she's only sleeping. And they mock him and they ridicule him. And he says, no, I have something to do here. And while it's not said in Matthew, Mark lets us know that he takes his inner circle of disciples in with him. And he takes the girl by the hand and he says, arise. By the same word that light was created by, life is breathed back into this girl. And she gets up and she rejoices, and her father and mother with her. Because Jesus is the resurrection. And while you may die here before his return, that day is a day that is coming. And on that day, you will never be sad again. You will never cry again. You will never hurt again. You will never be sick again. But rather, you will rejoice for eternity. Because Jesus has done this all for you. The church sings. In the midst of death's dark veil, powers of hell o'ertake us. Who will help when they assail? Who secure will make us? Thou only, Lord, thou only. Thy heart is moved with tenderness, pities us in our distress. Holy and righteous God, holy and mighty God, holy and all-merciful Savior, eternal Lord God, save us from the terror of the fiery pit of hell. Have mercy, O Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.